Well, we're back. Another look ahead to another wonderful day's racing on the Knavesmeyer. The Paddy Power sponsored Dante meeting continues. And thank you for joining us on the From the Horse's Mouth. My name is Patrick Connelly, and I'm joined once again by Rory DeLarghi and Ruby Walsh. And we're in this somewhat curious position because content needs to get out there quickly of recording our thoughts on day three before we've seen a single horse run at the Dante Festival. Is that always how you did these things, Rory, previously in the past?
Well, it has been. It has been at some meetings.
Okay.
Some are harder than others.
It is. And look, sometimes, you know what, if there's a bias that develops on the first day, sometimes it might throw you off something and then it goes and wins and you're like, here, I didn't see day one. Maybe. I'm being optimistic there a little bit. Ruby Walsh, how are you finding the summer and the somewhat quieter times that we're experiencing now versus your Aintree, your Punchestown and your Cheltenham Festival?
Quieter times on the travelling front, PK, but my inbox still seems to be pinging with you on podcasts every other day of the week. So I wouldn't consider them to be that quieter, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, but these are more relaxing and more fun and your favourite part of your...
No, travel. I can just turn on the National Hunt Farm and recognise every horse in most of the races. So actually, it's about a fifth of the work for me compared to now when you're sitting down here watching two-year-old maidens hoping to God Ross Orion has managed to pick the right one of three from Ammo Racing in the first race at York on a Friday, from Primrose Ridge, Fix You and Miami Girl. But actually watching those back, I can see why he chose Miami Girl. She was incredibly impressive at Newmarket. She's in the 150 at York, where she takes on Caramella, who was the obvious danger after winning at York, beating Jungle Time on her first start. I liked both, but I did think, and both were green, but I did love the way Miami Girl reacted to a flick from Ross Orion's whip as they met the rising ground in Newmarket and the way she hit the line. So I can see why she is the favourite 2 days in advance, and I'm with her.
Yep, that's the 150 at York, as Ruby rightly said. It's the Marygate Stakes. Watch out for an extra place in this race, by the way. Miami Girl, 7-2 favorite. Carmella, 11-2, as is Fix You, Coldplay fan. 7-1 Daytona Lady and 8-1 Yasha. Rory, your thoughts on the Marygate?
I wondered how much improvement there would be from the Ammo Racing fillies in this, only because all the Ammo Racing two-year-olds are pre-trained in the same place. Robson Aguiar does the job of pre-training them, does a tremendously good job of that as well, as you've seen with the results they've had first time out. So I'm not entirely sure how well some of them will improve from first run to second run. Of course, if they're pre-trained properly, you're not just training them for one run, you're training them to deliver the goods through the season. Similarly to Ruby, I was most impressed with Miami Girl last time out. But again, I'm going to throw one out at a bigger price who I think will improve a lot. And that's Pillow Talk. Who I hope is well drawn and stalled too, but I'm not quite so sure about it in this race given the inexperience of the runners. Pillow Talk was beaten on debut at Nottingham, but I thought she shaped like the best filly in the race. She's out of a half sister to Sands of Mali by Kodiak. She's bred to be very fast. She was drawn one at Nottingham, and there was a big bias towards the high numbers again on her debut, largely because the first and third that day, Lost Angel and Radio Goo Goo, had previous experience. The pair of them bounced out, dictated against the stands rail, and had their own battle. She was the only one to come with a run from midfield that day, and she was green in the early stages. She was stuck on the wide outside of the field, and she finished really strongly to be beaten half a length in the end. I thought she was the moral winner of that race. She wasn't fancied for it. She was the owner's second string. She went off at 18-1 in the market. So she wasn't expected to deliver that day, but she showed a good attitude. She did it against the bias, and I think she's going to improve considerably on that. On the bare form, she's got a little bit to find, but it's so difficult to judge fillies on one or two runs or juveniles generally. You can't really put realistic figures on them. You just got to see which ones you think are impressive and likely to keep producing their form. And that's why I don't like backing shorties in races like this, because they don't always go forward from one run to another. Whereas a lot of juveniles will just show a flash of what they're capable of doing first time out and then improve a lot for the experience. And Pillow Talk strikes me as the type to improve an awful lot for the run. So I'd be inclined to back her each way. That's what I hope is a reasonable price.
Well, for one, you're engaging in a little bit of Pillow Talk on a Friday afternoon, the 150 at York. Ruby, sticking with Miami Girl, who, again, she went into every notebook, didn't she? That was a really, really impressive victory on debut. Right, that's the 150. Moving swiftly on to the 225, the Oak Farm Stable Fillies Stakes. This is a listed race, and it's a money back race online as well. Check all the details on the Paddy Power website regarding money back, second, third, or fourth. Okay, Grand Dam for Frankie and John and Thady Gosden. One run, one win, the 5-2 favourite. Perfect news for Mark Andon Haggis is 100-30. Honey Sweet, 11-2. Fontaine, 13-2. 9-1, Girl on Film. And then it's double figure odds the remainder. Right back at you then, Rory, for the 225.
I like Girl on Film here. I'm not beating around the bush too much about it. Perfect news, arguably the ones to beat. And she ran well behind the Guineas winner in the Nell Gwynn. I wasn't enormously impressed with how the Nell Gwynn panned out in the first place, but Cashy proved me wrong there by winning the Guineas as she did. But I thought Girl on Film could be very smart. She's only had the two runs. She was a winner on debut at Newmarket in a maiden. She was reasonably well fancied that day, but still showed signs of greenness before winning it by a length and a half. And she stepped up markedly, despite only finishing fifth. But that was in the Rockfell Stakes behind Hello You and Cachet. And indeed, Oscula, a form that's worked out really well. Jumbly in fourth was a group winner next time out. And it's hard to knock this form at all. I thought Girl on Film still needed the experience that day. Is the type to improve a lot from 2-3. And I thought she could improve past a lot of these, to be perfectly honest.
Duran Duran fan?
Would Rafe Beckett's form be of any concern to you, Rory? He's a winner from 22 runs.
Yeah, it has to be a bit of a concern. But his overall strike rate this season is okay. I would rather back one of Rafe's fillies than one of his, his older handicappers. He tends to be able to hit the mark with the high-class fillies. Even though the form of the yard is a little bit of a concern. Enough of them are running well for me not to be massively worried. And it's not like I'm backing up a short price favourite either. If it was, it that might put me off. But I get the impression that Girl on Film might just be the best filly in this race. And she's not priced up that way. So that's enough to allow me to take a chance and ignore the slight concerns about stable form.
Sorry, more important question. Are you a Duran Duran fan?
Yes, I like a bit of Girl on Film. That's taken me back to my earlier musical appreciation days. Yeah,
Jim.
Later right. Stuff, not so much, but you know.
Oh, as ever. Oh yeah, yeah. I like the early
Hungry
stuff.
Like the Wolf. Yeah,
I like the early stuff. Yeah, yeah. It's all late. Ruby, your thoughts on the 225?
I was taken with Grand Dame at Ascot. I thought she did really well to win on debut. But my issue with her here is that on her second start, she's going to have to run to a mark of around about 100 to win the race on only her second start. And if she can do that on her second start, where is the ceiling for Grand Dame? So that is my issue with going with her. But look, even looking at Perfect News behind Cachet had a really good run through the race. So unless it's fitness that's going to improve Perfect News, I'd say her mark is just about right. Honey Sweet ran well behind, but didn't run okay behind Noble Truth, was well beaten in the end. It's not a race I'm mad keen on. Girl on Film, look, I asked Rory the question because the yard form would have me slightly against her, and I just think Grand Dame, there could be plenty in the locker. I thought she was ridden to come home. She came home and won. She was green early in the race. I think she'd have improved. It's just, do I think she's ultimately going to be a 110 or 12 filly because she's going to have to run to 100 on her second start? I'm going to take the chance and go with Grand Dame. It might look very clever by the end of the summer or extremely ridiculous.
Yeah, well, look, that's the great thing about these early races. You could be very smart. Maybe you will be. Right, that's Grand Dame and Girl on Film. A couple of selections in the 225 that... Filly's listed race. Now, moving on to the 3 o'clock. This is a handicap. It's called the Paddy Power I Love Steak Handicap. Yep. And the favourite for the race is Rogue Bear at 7-2. Bellazio's 5-1. 7-1 Spirit Dancer. 7-1 Miramichi. 15-2 Cockalorum. 8-1 What's the Story, who may run on the Thursday. May well have run at this stage, so we don't know at this time because we're recording on the Wednesday. And then it's 10 to 1 Lover's Gold and 12 to 1 The Flying Ginger, as well as Skilled Warrior. Okay, Ruby, back to you for the Mile and a Quarter handicap, the Paddy Power I Love Steak.
Yeah, going back to your form, Cockalorum ran a blinder here in the John Smith's Cup last July when it was second to Johnny Drama, only beaten ahead. That was at a price of 40 to 1. So hard to say he was mad fancied on that occasion. But Roger Fell, his yard just hasn't hit form just yet. So with an eye on the future, keep an eye on Cockalorum, because I think back down to a mark of 95, it's definitely around the range that Cockalorum can be competitive at. But the one that I'm going to go with each way here is Parachute. First run back this year was in Doncaster over 10 furlongs. Improved when it went to Epsom nearly 3 weeks later behind Going Gone. Looked the winner at Epsom down past the two marker. Either didn't get home or didn't go through with it, but Ed Walker has put blinkers on Parachute for the first time. And I think this 4-year-old at 10 furlongs with a pair of blinkers on has a chance. It's now it's one over further and been running over further. But I think dropping the back with a pair of blinkers was obviously William Buick's suggestion, and Tom Arcand takes over again.
Interesting. We'll see how that one goes. Rory, your thoughts?
I thought Parachute was an interesting one, and I'm not sure the price and that will stand up. I see it's been nibbled elsewhere, still 12 to 1 with Paddy Power, but I think that's going to be under pressure. I didn't think this was as competitive as it looked at first glance. It'll be interesting to see what's the story turning out again after winning the previous day, because he'd still be on a decent mark in his old form. So it's interesting that Keith Dalglish has declared him for both races. But I thought, it doesn't take an awful lot of thinking here. I thought Rogue Bear would be very hard to beat. And I thought I think it was 7-2.
Yep.
I thought 7-2 was very fair about him. In fairness, I got my fingers burned with him last time out in the Spring Cup. But the front two in that race are Group Horses and Rogue Bear. He just lacked a gear. He ran really well. He was beaten less than half a length in the end, having shipped easily best in the Lincoln. He was badly drawn in the Lincoln compared to where the placed horses came from. That race was dominated by horses drawn low, who raced on the pace. Johan drawn 4, Salim drawn 3, Irish Admiral drawn 1, were first, second and fourth. And Rogue Bear was 19. He was drawn in stall 19. He had to take in behind the runners and try to get a way through. And he finished best of all to be third there. But on his last 4 starts, which have all been really solid runs, he won at Nottingham. He then dead-heated in his final start at Nottingham over an extended mile. He's given the impression that an extra furlong or two would help him enormously. And he steps up to Mile and a Quarter for the first time today. On Friday. That will certainly be in his favour. And I think he'll raise his form again as a result. And if he does, he's got the best recent form anyway. One or two of these are well handicapped on last season's form. But he's progressive. He's proved that he's trained on very well from 3-4, and stepping up to Mile and a Quarter, given the pedigree that the stamina that his dam showed. It's a mixed pedigree by Kodiak, so there's plenty of speed there, but the dam stayed very well. She's a High Chaparral mare, and he's given every indication that he wants a Mile and a Quarter in his last 2 starts, so getting it for the first time should enable him to stay ahead of the handicapper.
Rogue Bear for Rory, Ruby with Parachute in the 3 o'clock, the Paddy Power I Love Steak handicap. I do love steak too. As long as it's cooked correctly, don't you be giving me anything well done or even medium. Rare. Okay, moving on to the Paddy Power sponsored our first go at sponsoring the Yorkshire Cup due off at 3:35. We've got one of the big two, I suppose. We've got Stradivarius, Trushan unsurprisingly taken out with no appreciable rain forecast. 8-11 Stradivarius, remarkable. 8-year-old, entire, and he's odds on for a Yorkshire Cup. That just tells you what a training achievement John and Thady Gosden have done with this horse. 5-1 Search for a Song for Dermweld. Chris Hayes, her full brother, will run today as well on the Friday, later on at Leopardstown. 11-2 for Tashkan. 8-1 Max Fagan. 10-1 Thunderous. Right, I'm going to go back to you, Rory. Stradivarius, we had, myself, Ruby, Frank and co, had plenty of chats about Stradivarius last year, and we were waiting for the time when he would eventually decide, I'm not for this racing game, I'm more for this stud game as a horse. And he never really, like, he does still show the not cultish, but he shows the signs of his mind going elsewhere, but he still wins.
They had a photo shoot at the start of, not last season, season before, I think it was, and it looked like it was going to mount Frankie Dettori at one stage. we have been, that thought has been in people's minds for a while, that there's only so long that an entire like him can go on for. And I thought he showed signs last season that he was very well placed in the races that he ran in, but I thought he showed signs that he was just beginning to regress a little bit. But he still retains that desire to win. He's never been particularly well suited by Ascot, so you can throw out his moderate run behind Trushan, although it was a better run than he put up the previous year anyway. He's proven well suited by track and trip before. You know, for a horse he stays 2 miles very well. It's his turn of foot that's always been key to him. I don't think this race is going to be run to suit him, though. Franny Norton's too cute on Thunderous to jump out and set a strong pace. He certainly will jump out and make the running, but Franny's surely going to be putting the brakes on before he gets to the home bend and trying to make this tactical. Thunderous, of course, won the Dante here a couple of seasons ago. He's been a little bit frustrating since, but actually, I probably got on him on the wrong day. I thought he would run really well in the John Porter on his reappearance. But of course, he went without the headgear that day, and he seems to need the headgear these days. He ran very well in the Hardwick Stakes wearing blinkers last season. And then he stepped up on what he'd done on his reappearance when he finished a very good second in the Ormonds. Now, this is a reasonably quick turnaround, but I think he keeps a bit for himself, Thunderous. So I don't think it'll be a massive problem for him running so quickly. We know York suits him. We know he stays the trip. And I think Franny Norton will try to dictate the pace, knowing that, you know, he's the one who's going to get the lead. He's a dyed-in-the-wool front runner. But the way to win in front runners isn't always to go as fast as you can. You know, it's to use that position to control the race. And I think Franny, he's been around for a long time. He will try to control this race and make sure that when he steps on the gas, it'll be reasonably late in the day so that Stradivarius, you know, will just be caught out. The two issues with Stradivarius, he wants to come off the pace, but he's not the kind of horse to stretch clear when he gets to the front either. So Frankie always wants to deliver him on the line because he has a tendency to idle. So Frankie won't want to come too soon. He'll be aware of what's going on here, but it's up to Franny Norton to press the button at just the right time that he gets a little bit of a jump at Stradivarius, but doesn't give that horse long enough to wear him down. And on the basis of the form that they've shown in the last year, I don't think there's an awful lot between them. And I think the Thunderous might just be able to dethrone Stradivarius, certainly with fitness on his side. But the two runs behind him, he should be absolutely cherry ripe. And Stradivarius, it must be harder to get him fit first time as he gets older, by definition. You know, these stallions get a bit more weight on them. It's that bit harder to motivate them on the gallops as well. So Stradivarius, for all he's got a good record first time out, I think this might be, as an eight-year-old, the time when he is vulnerable in this race.
And there's a mare in the race as well. He could have his mind completely elsewhere. Ruby, your thoughts?
Yeah, look, it's a funny one. And as Rory says, it will be tactical. But like an eight-year-old horse, as you said, PK, first run of the season, Thunderous with a run under his belt, Search for a Song with a run under her belt. I can understand you making it tactical, but as Stradivarius gets older and grosser, it can't be any easier to get him fit either. So, you have to make it some bit tactical, but I'd be surprised if Franny Norton and or Chris Hayes don't try and at least test Stradivarius' fitness. To me, that's the way I'd be going at it. I know Frankie likes to deliver him late, but I would be definitely hoping that you would. I'd hate to get beaten on a race fit horse by one that mightn't be race fit. And that's definitely the way I'd be probably playing it. But, you know, Search for a Strong Song even can be keen at times. So if Thunderous does pull it up, I could see Search for a Strong getting quite forward going with Chris Hayes. Now, they've held her up in rear on the last couple of starts, so maybe she'll be behind Stradivarius. Maybe that might set Stradivarius alight as well. But I'd be surprised if Chris Hayes doesn't push Stradivarius into it earlier maybe than Frankie wants to get involved. And I'd be kind of hoping they at least try and test his fitness. He's odds on. That's the way I'd be going about it. And I think Search for a Song, even though she's a six-year-old, with the run behind Kyprius at Navan under her belt, I'd probably be with her.
Okay, so taking on Stradivarius, the two lads in the Paddy Power sponsored Yorkshire Cup. By the way, for relatively new listeners to the podcast or to horse racing, what we're talking about regarding Stradivarius, he's an entire, which means he hasn't been gelded, which means he can still operate on all faculties. I don't really know how else to say this, but if he wanted to go to stud, he would be able to, or if his owners wanted to send him to stud, he would be able to, and he would be able to, as they say, service the mare. So very difficult and rare for horses of his age to maintain everything at that age. So yeah, interesting to see how Stradivarius goes this season. Right on after your nice little veterinary lesson, the 410 is the Paddy Power Fill the Boots handicap. I think that's, I assume that's a Yorkshire phrase.
Fill the Boots.
Is that a Yorkshire phrase, Rory?
It is, yeah.
Fill the Boots. Wild Crusade, the 9-4 favourite for Charlie Appy and James Doyle. We haven't talked a huge amount about Godolphin at the moment. 7-2 for New Comedy for Charlie Appleby and Frankie Dettori, unbeaten, 2-2. 4-1, Al Karim, Achanamara, I should say, 8-1. It's 9-1. And bigger, your remainder. Straight back to you, Ruby Walsh. Charlie Appy, a stranglehold in this race?
Yeah, it would look that way. Achanamara must have halved in price from the ones that are in front of me, PK. Achanamara was initially a 16-1 shot. So if you're quoting it at 8 now, somebody has nibbled at Achanamara, and that price has collapsed even 2 days in advance of the race. I think it's impossible to put a figure on New Comedy. Two starts, won both times, turns up in his third run in a handicap off a mark of 87. Jockey bookings would suggest Wild Crusade is the first string, with James Doyle riding that. William Buick's at a different meeting, so Frankie Dettori is aboard New Comedy. Or is William suspended? I'm assuming he's at a different meeting. But New Comedy, it's just very hard to get a figure on and could be the improver in the contest. It wasn't a race I had a massively strong opinion on. So I leave it to Rory, but I don't know what you think, Rory, but for New Comedy and Lady LaBelle, how you expect the handicapper to have them right after two starts is, I think, unbelievably difficult.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I thought it was a tough race as a result. But of course, it's cuts both ways. You know, it's difficult for the handicapper to get these horses right. It's also difficult for the odds compilers to put them in at the right price. And horses with that kind of profile tend to be put in pretty short if they, you know, if they come from yards where the punters latch onto them. I'm not sure. I mean, Wild Crusade is going to be favourite for this, and he is a full brother to Wild Illusion and to Ybir. And I just think there's an awful lot of his pedigree in his price, because the races he's won at Kempton have not been particularly strong. He won a pretty weak four-runner handicap last time out of an opening mark of 83. He was 11-4 on to do it. And clearly he was expected to win it easily, and he did it. He won it easily enough, but the runner-up ran badly next time. And it's difficult to get a handle on the form. Essentially, you know, he's all about the fact that Charlie Appleby's done so well with the relatives, and that on paper he should be a decent horse. I'm going to go down a similar route I've done before here. I thought Speycaster ran very well on his return at Nottingham. I didn't think he looked 100% fit that day. He went through the race as if it would bring him on. We're getting back to the whole Rafe Beckett stable form again, but, you know, he was a neck away from winning a classic just a week or so ago. So I'm not inclined to labour the point there. I thought Speycaster had plenty of scope for improvement. He progressed with each of his runs last season. As a son of Highland Reel out of a Monson mare, he was never going to be a two-year-old. So I think he's ended up going handicapping off a decent mark. He didn't get the job done, although he was favourite first time out, but he's had 5 weeks since then just to develop a little bit. The horse who finished fifth in that race, State Legend, was a winner next time out. The fourth ran pretty well on her next start. I think the form is okay. He does need to improve, but he's got that kind of profile that suggests that he's pretty much guaranteed to improve at this sort of trip. And, you know, he's up 2 furlongs. That looks like it's what he needs on pedigree, given the exploits of both Highland Reel and Monson as performers. And I'm inclined to give him a second chance off his opening mark of 82. He's 10-1. And that strikes me as being potentially very big, given what these horses have actually achieved on the race course. I think a lot of those with, you know, who are hard to weigh up are automatically put in shorter than you want, because, you know, if you are an odds compiler, your automatic thought is be careful of horses who you don't know an awful lot about. But it's often those who look a little bit exposed who end up biting you on the backside anyway. And I think Spycaster, although he's had four runs, I think he's totally unexposed as a middle distance performer. You know, the comments that have been made about the Beckett Yard, I'll take on board, but maybe the way to play them is have his pair in a double, and then you're right. You're either horribly wrong or you're tremendously right. But yeah, 10 to 1 seems too big for me.
Do you want the good news, guys?
Gassi won the first race in York.
We're off to a flyer in York. 3-1 if you were listening 2 days ago. 6-4 returned.
I was also watching as well. Yeah. Gassi won the first race in York. We're recording on Wednesday, but that was tipped up earlier on this week. Okay, so Spycaster for Rory in the last race. We're going to look at it, York. You're right, Ruby Walsh. William Buick is not riding at York on Friday. Do you know where he's gone? He's gone to Newbury, and he rides for three Charlie Appleby horses, amongst others, including on board Silver Samurai in the 205, a race that ITV are going to show us. Now, it's only 7 runners in this race, Rory, so win only, please.
And Silver Samurai, I think, is the horse to be on. Not because William Buick is going there for the ride on this Marco Botti gelding, but it's a slightly disappointing turnout for a not 105 6 furlong handicap. Just a seven turning out, and not many of those really sprinters either. To be perfectly honest, most of them have form at 7 furlongs. Plenty of them high enough in the weights. The one who might get the run of things is Abel Kane off the front. He did really well last season. I think he won 4 times, but his 2 runs this season suggest he's too high in the weights. He was a winner at Leicester off a mark of 89 in his final start last year, but 2 runs off 93 this season have seen him beaten 6 lengths, and he's been dropped just a pound for that. So although he's liable to get the run of the race from the front, which is a potentially a big positive here, I just didn't think he was well enough handicapped for me to want to back him. Bernard O'Reilly is too high on the weights as well. He goes very well in big fields at Doncaster, and he won on his reappearance in a 6 furlong handicap at Doncaster at the Lincoln meeting. That's seen him go up £7 in the weights, and he's not going to be winning off that for a while, I don't think. Mitros on Fire will win races this season, but he's always needed a run after a break, so I'm scratching him. Puerto de Vega has got 1 standout effort on the polytrack at Kempton. You know, it was largely progressive last season, but he's handicapped on one piece of form that makes him look a little bit better. And he hasn't really proved that he can do the same sort of thing on turf. Indian Creek's been out of form in 2 runs this season from Mick Shannon. Could bounce back, but hard to back him with any confidence. And then you come to Silver Samurai, who looks like he's running himself into form. He was a good 3rd at Ascot last time out behind Minia Star. He does stay beyond this trip, but he's a horse who takes a real hold held up. I was particularly taken by his run at York in September last year, again over 7 furlongs, when he's traveled very well to come through the field and throw down a challenge to Chalet. Didn't quite get there in the end. I didn't think he looked particularly strong in the last half furlong that day. He did his running very easily to get into a challenge position and then couldn't really go on. He might just be a slightly tricky character. He wears the hood, he carries his head a little bit high, but I think he's going to have this race set up for him. He'll sit just off the pace, he'll travel strongly, and he's got a bunch of horses that are not particularly well handicapped in opposition. So it looks like a very good opportunity for Silver Samurai.
Silver Samurai.
You say a disappointing turnout, Rory, but the very same race is going to be run in 25 minutes' time at York, which is worth 35,000 all in. Friday's race is worth 25,000 all in. And we wonder why in the UK there is small fields when you keep running the same races 2 days apart.
And unfortunately, there are certain tracks, you know, where you should get really competitive races, where, you know, it's a no-brainer that you go to York for this contest when Newbury are giving you 13,000 to the winner. And that's disappointing from Newbury, which is one of the premier tracks in the UK, that the prize money tends to lag behind what you're getting from York. Always produce very good prize money. And there are some less glamorous tracks that do very well in the prize money stakes as well, but some of the bigger tracks are lagging behind.
That's Newbury, 25,000 for that 0-105 handicap. Have a look and see what the Challow Grade 1 novice hurdle is worth.
Yes,
for a Grade 1, I'm pretty sure that's it's lagging behind, isn't it? But anyway,
look, lads, it should lose its Grade 1 status for what Newbury offered in prize money. Well, simple as that. Should be just taken away from it and told you're not having the Grade One if you're not going to put decent prize money with it. Good luck and thanks.
Yeah, I think the Tolworth isn't great either at Sandown.
No, it's as bad.
It's exactly the same.
Ridiculous.
But look, lads, it's grand because it sounds like getting rid of these 300 races from the UK is going to be really easy. So
300 fixtures, not 300 races.
No, 300 fixtures would be that's 300 races, isn't it?
Yeah, but that's the problem. They've got it wrong. It's not 300 races. It's 300 fixtures.
Well, it's if they're struggling to get rid of 300 races, which is less than a race a day a year. We could be at this a while.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Right, there are some good races outside of the ITV card. I just wanted a quick chat on the 7:30 Leopardstown, the Saddlebag Levmoss Stakes, Group 3. It looks an absolute penalty kick, or I think it does anyway, for Kyprios, who at the time of recording is the 5-1 second favourite for the Ascot Gold Cup. Obviously, Stradivarius, Search for a Song will have run earlier on in the day, which will have a fair impact on that. But Ruby, Kyprios, could this be his year? Could he be the stayer?
Yeah, definitely. His older sister is taking on Stradivarius, as you said, in the Yorkshire Cup. And look, it is Kyprios to lose, I would have said, as bluntly as that. He was impressive at Navan in the Vintage Crop. And it's going to be hard to beat. Baron Samedi was third, Leo de Fury was fourth. Solid enough form. Loved the way he went to the line. And it'll be interesting. Obviously, Aidan had the Chester Cup winner the other day. Who people were touting even as an Ascot Gold Cup horse. I think this fella is.
Yeah, he's 5-1 for the Gold Cup. Cleveland, who you mentioned, he's 12-1 for the Gold Cup. He wins this, doesn't he, Rory?
It'll be disappointing if he doesn't. Yeah, it looks well set up for him, and he's until his reappearance, I find him quite a difficult horse to get a handle on. Because he's always had a big reputation. He was disappointing in the Zetland Stakes as a 2-year-old, but then again, his pedigree and his build. Never have marked him down as a horse who would show his best until he was about 4 anyway, and he seems to be blossoming at the right time, so this should be straightforward.
Should be. Ruby, there are 3 entrants or declarations for Willie Mullins at Kilbeggan on Friday night, and arguably the most, well, actually all 3 I think are interesting in 3 different ways. Baby Zeus is the first of those in the Irish Farmer's Journal Maiden Hurdle, which is due at 6 o'clock. Very smart flat horse, Ruby. This horse, if he can take to hurdling, he could be a serious animal.
Yeah, bolted in his first start for Willie in May of 21 at the Curragh over 10 furlongs, and he beat Miran. That was off a mark of 85. He's struggled a bit since. His best run came last year at Listowel behind Rebelito when he was 5th. That was over a mile and a half. If I had a concern, PK, it might be stamina. He schooled well, but he does work like a really sharp horse. He's by footsteps in the sand. Now, he's a 5-year-old. Hopefully, he'll get the trip, but level never-ending will make him stay.
He's a good, yeah, he's certainly got some good, 93 rage, and maybe he's not quite at 93, but he definitely brings a fair level of belief. Or Peast in the Novice Hurdle, Joe Donnelly Silks, 135 rated running a Kilbeggan on a Friday night in summer. This should win.
Yeah, I would have thought, having watched her in the Grade One at Ferry House behind Brandy Love, Jack Kennedy rode her on that occasion. She jumped really well, providing she jumps around and Paul Townend doesn't go the wrong course. It's hard to see what's going to beat her, Peast.
Yeah, and Joe Donnelly, clearly a massive fan of Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, because he's named one of his horses, or at least he's bought a horse that's got called Uncle Phil in the bumper in the Joe Donnelly Silks. Willie Mullins trains, Patrick Mullins rides, tongue-tied on debut, but fascinating runner nonetheless.
Yeah, not for decoration, I'd say. Definitely the drying ground would help Uncle Phil. He's by walking the park out of Snipe Davis, who Rory informed us before we started. Nicky Henderson used to train. Yeah, Kilbeggan, good ground will definitely be a big help to Uncle Phil. He did struggle a bit in the depths of winter on the heavier surfaces, but the drier ground does seem to have brought about some improvement in Uncle Phil's homework.
Okay, so the latter two of the William Mullins horses potentially with Baby Zeus. Perhaps 2 mile 3 might stretch him. We'll see how he goes.
It's 2 miles he's maiden, isn't it?
I think it's 2 mile 3.
Oh, it's 2 miles and 3, you're right.
3, so it's even further, Ruby.
Yeah, Dad, I'd be worried about 2 miles and 3 for him. Hopefully, Kilbeggan's a sharp, fast track, but 2 miles and 3 is still 2 miles and 3 furlongs wherever you are.
Yeah, you're worried about him over two mile three. Definitely should be worried. All right, lads, we've gone through quite a lot of racing for a fabulous Friday. Let's go with best bets. Remember, we were covering York earlier on, just in case. And the best bet of the day, Ruby Walsh, off you go.
I'm going to start early in the 150, Miami Gold. She's 3-1 currently on the Paddy Power side. Take it. She won't start that price.
Oh, 7-2 we started talking. Is she down 3-1 already?
She is, yeah.
Oh, my word. Okay, right. So that God knows what price she'll be by the time this goes out. So that's in the 150, Miami Gold. Rory?
That's a good one, isn't it? I'll go Speycaster in the Paddy Power of Fill the Boots handicap, and hopefully we can fill our boots.
Fill the boots. 10-1, as you said at the time of recording. That is number 4 in the card. That raced you off at 4:10 York. Gentlemen, thank you very much. We will be back tomorrow to preview a wonderful weekend of racing. Another big weekend of racing. The feature on Saturday is obviously the Lock-In Stakes. Be interesting to see how far Baid wins by, as well, I suppose, is really all we're talking about. But maybe one of the lads will find something to beat him. Until then, stay safe, stay well, have a fabulous Friday at York and Leprosy and Kilbeggan, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.